Life. This is an episode of Everyday Echoes. Everyday Echoes is just all about shining the spotlight on people that are making change in their environment, whether people know them or not, whether in the background or they're just outspoken about it. So just trying to inspire the next generation. One of the things I've realized about life is that I alone cannot change the world, you alone cannot change the world, but we can create many ripples so we can lit up the spark in another person. So that's what just this podcast is all about. About just lighting up a spark in someone to just create change in their own little way. It doesn't have to be something so huge. It doesn't have to be something so big. It can just be as little as possible. And when that touch of kindness can spread from me to you to another person, together we can actually change the world. So that's what Everyday Echoes is just all about. And I'm privileged to have you as my first guest on my first episode. Like, given your track record of excellence over the years, knowing that you're a musician, a writer, also you own the Star Child Charity, which is quite impressive. You've lived a life for other people, and I'm just so happy to have you here. How do you feel about being here?
I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah.
It's just such a nice spin-off from the conference where I first met you.
Yeah, of yours, and you've been privileged to like sing on the national stage. How was the first experience singing in front of the Queen?
That was nerve-wracking, first and foremost. Very nerve-wracking, but it was deeply humbling.
Yeah.
It was an incredible experience. It's an experience that I never thought that would happen to me.
Yeah.
But I felt very honoured, very privileged.
Like, your story didn't just happen that you started singing today and you got in front of the Queen like 2 weeks. No, it took like a story of resilience, determination, and so much more. What would you say to like people, younger adults? Imagine you're talking to like millions of me right now. What would you say to them and just tell them, like, concerning their dreams, concerning what they believe in, concerning their vision, concerning their purpose? What would you advise them?
Not to let other people define you.
Yeah.
If the dream is there.
Yeah.
It's been put there for a reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that journey will be easy.
Yeah.
We all have to learn.
Yeah.
And grow. And as often as not, that comes through enormous challenges.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to have resilience in the business.
Yeah.
Then you need to have gone through a few tough knocks. And, you know, I think everybody in any industry where they're fighting, it doesn't matter what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
They'll come up against rejection.
Yeah.
They'll come up against obstacles and setbacks. But I think you just have to really believe in your heart.
Yeah.
And there's signposts along the way.
Yeah.
I call them these cosmic nudges. I think when you're on the right track, even although you're getting the delays and the setbacks and things, the nudges come.
Yeah.
And you know that you're on the right track, and you just have to persevere. You cannot give up at the first stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had so many knockbacks and setbacks and rejections in my life, but I just keep going.
Yeah.
It leads you down different roads, different paths,
yeah,
things that you didn't expect to experience.
Yeah.
And that's the wonder of it, and I think you just have to enjoy the journey. Seriously,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's kind of, you know, been said, cliche, but you really do have to enjoy the journey.
Yeah, true.
As much as getting to wherever it is you're going, because you might take a detour and find that that's even better.
Yeah, very true. You know, like, there was someone that gave an example that sometimes our lives are like stock prices, like graph, because
yes,
it doesn't like go like linear. It goes like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And by the time you look at it, you're not more at the point at which you started. And some people would have just thought, oh, you just moved in like a linear graph, but they didn't know that it took like a lot to just keep going, just bit by bit.
It's a very good way of describing it.
Yeah.
And I suppose there are some people whose life is a bit more like that.
Yeah.
Maybe just a wee bit.
Yeah.
Mine, and it sounds like you're the same, it's very much like,
yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
it's had a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's marvellous. I wouldn't have that any other way.
Yeah, like in your lows, what has brought you out, like in your down times, what has encouraged you to like just push?
I think that when you are in a dark place,
yeah,
there's that, what's that famous saying about, you can only see the stars in the dark.
Okay.
I think when you're there, you can see sometimes yourself a bit more clearly.
Yeah.
You have to fight to survive. And sometimes the struggle, you can see things about yourself that you
yeah.
didn't know existed. Just like Frankie's death, look
yeah.
what's come from that.
Yeah.
Being able to see the positives in life. For me, a lot of time I spend meditating.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time in prayer. And so I don't think I would have come to that realization had I not had such severe losses
yeah.
at quite a young age. And for me, a lot of my friends,
yeah.
they maybe had never experienced that, so
yeah.
I couldn't even speak to them.
Yeah.
And so I spoke to God, the universe, the angels,
yeah.
whatever you want to describe it as. What I did was it helped me to get myself out of the dark places
yeah.
that I was in. And there have been days that have been very, very dark. And for me, being able to sit down and light a candle
yeah.
and speak to God, the universe,
yeah.
has helped me enormously. And also, I ask for signs.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will say to me, why do all these things happen to you? Why do you get all these synchronicities
yeah.
happen to you? And I say, well, you don't ask.
Yeah.
You don't ask about them. I ask for it all the time, and I often get it. I get the answers.
Yeah.
And that also keeps me going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so emotional. You know, like, I moved into Scotland in January. I came January 2nd. I can't forget that night because it was so cold. I came in the middle of the night. So, you know, I heard about the cold, but I didn't know it would be so cold. So I was just so cold, like, coming into a new space, into a new land. Didn't know, like, so much more to expect for me. So I was coming to school, University of Glasgow, and it's been 11 months, and I've seen myself grow through every setback, every obstacle. You know, one day I was just walking on the University Avenue, and while I'm going to class or to the library, I was motivating myself. I was telling myself that those that achieve their dreams are not those that give up along the way. You have to keep pushing. So, like, they're just some moments in our lives where we'll just get so low. And in that point, we just have to find ourselves, find the light, and just find something that we're just most grateful for. Because we might feel like we might have our backs down, but it's not everything that's actually down. You have the gift of life, so that's something to keep going for and just still keep being grateful for. So
you remind me of Frankie when you speak like that. His optimism, his ability to laugh at things
yeah.
and not take it so seriously
yeah.
was one of his great strengths.
Yeah.
And again, when I met you, I was wanting to ask you what it was like coming
yeah.
here. And have you felt at home in Glasgow? Have you felt any prejudice? How has your experience been
yeah,
at Glasgow?
Coming to Glasgow, I love Glasgow. I got to Glasgow, people were too nice to me, so I thought they wanted to take something from me, because back home, when people are too nice to you, just know that something coming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, why is she just so helping me? Why is he trying to help me out? I'm like, then I just realized that it's actually how people live here, and it was a shift in culture for me, realizing that, oh, people can actually just be naturally good to you. And I was like, oh, that's so cool to know. And I saw, like, a quote, like, somewhere, people make Glasgow.
Yeah.
And it's actually people that make this community vibrant and so beautiful. So I found home in Glasgow. I found, like, I made new friends, got along with the culture, like, just seeing the beautiful environment of Glasgow. But the cold, I adapted so fast. I loved it, yeah.
I can't adapt to the cold. I hate the cold. I think I'll go live in Africa.
I adapted so fast.
And that is trusting that you are in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I think that's a lovely thing to say, because that keeps me going as well.
Yeah.
But it's so lovely to hear you speak about Glasgow in that respect.
Yeah.
Because so many people I'm meeting these days are talking about racism in Glasgow.
Yeah,
and
I faced that a bit,
yeah,
but
yeah.
like, it wasn't so much, so I would allow two wrongs to override the, like, so much right that Glasgow has brought to me. So there was a day I was just walking back home from school, and someone wind down their glass and just insulted me, like, and then I was just like, okay, like, that same day, I could have met like 10 other people that were just so nice to me and so kind. It happens everywhere.
It's so, so refreshing because this is like the way Frankie would react.
Yeah.
He'd say it's few. They're few and far between.
Yeah, exactly.
The majority of people loved and adored him.
Yeah.
And would help him.
Yeah,
they wanted to help him. They had this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to say he would get away with anything. and I couldn't. But I would have the red hair and freckles, and he would tease me about that.
Yeah.
And it was just such a nice... I'm just so grateful that I grew up with a black brother.
Yeah, wow.
You just see the world a bit differently, having through that lens.
Yeah.
You know, and being so close to Frankie. And yes, like you say, we would walk down the street.
Yeah.
And somebody would call out a silly, stupid name and... But they were few.
Yeah, very few.
The majority of people, I think, in Glasgow are really embracing of different cultures and inclusivity.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this city.
Yeah, and I also feel like when each and every one of us, we start looking at ourselves, not with respect to our race or color or our religion, but seeing ourselves as humans. Exactly. So if I'm relating to you as not being white or black, but relating to you as, oh, you're human, you would treat me with more compassion. You would treat me with more kindness. So everyone to start looking at themselves like, oh, not that I'm black, not that I'm white, but I'm human. I'm first human before my color. I'm first human before I'm Glaswegian. I'm first human before I'm
Majority
Scottish.
Majority of people really don't see the color. They just see you as a human being.
Yeah, true.
And it's just that few, and you cannot allow that.
Yeah.
There's people that will object to everything in life, you know, that don't like red hair,
that
don't like, you know, a disability, they don't like. You cannot focus on that.
Yeah.
You can't. You have to focus on the positive and be optimistic.
Yeah. It's been a phenomenal time with you. I've enjoyed every bit of the conversation we've had. It's been inspiring. I've learned a lot. I've been able to talk to you. Like, it felt like I was talking to, like, a very close friend of mine, which I really enjoyed. Thank you so, so much for giving me this platform and this privilege to have you on, like, this podcast.
Thank you.
I'm forever honored, and I will never forget. Thank you so much. Thank you.